Well, my testimony this morning is that I love Jesus. I need the Lord today. And so don't we all? Don't we need the Lord today? And He has been so good to come and call each one of us by name. He wants a personal relationship with us. Jesus wants a personal relationship with you. And He won't leave you behind. He won't leave you wondering where He's gone. But the Lord has a beautiful, wonderful plan to save you from your sins, give you the strength you need to go through life, and to hold your hand when you get to the end of the way and stand before the Almighty Judge. Jesus wants to stand right there beside you and say, "This is one of mine." And I'm so thankful for that today, because without Him, I would be nothing. Would have nothing to offer. And so I'm so appreciative of that. Appreciate being here this morning. I feel humbled, yet privileged to be able to share some of the hope of the gospel. I feel impressed with the message this morning that I will in no way be able to cover in its completeness. And so I've struggled a little bit with that in my mind, knowing that. So this morning, count it as a seed sown, and I pray that the Lord will give the increase. The message is titled, "What is Required?" And I'm not thinking this morning about what is required to buy that next new vehicle or that better house. But I'm thinking this morning about what is required to gain eternal life, because that's the most important thing in our lives today, is that we be ready to go. And I'd like to turn to the 19th chapter of Matthew and read a few verses here that was actually referenced in Sunday school this morning. Matthew 19:16, and says, "Behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, shall not commit adultery, shall not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth. What lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell what thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me." Well, there's a lot of lessons that can be taken from this passage, and indeed have been over the years. We could preach a message this morning about how that the man was not willing to give all. We can preach this morning about how that riches can often prove a snare in our lives on this earth. Could also preach a message about the fact that the Lord was able to get down and touch the thing in this particular man's life that he needed to measure up to or to do that to gain eternal life. But I'm most interested this morning in looking at the first question that the man asked and the last thing that Jesus said. And so I'm going to remind you of that. The man came to Jesus and he said, "What good thing must I do to gain eternal life? What, Lord, what, if you'll allow me, Lord, what good work must I do to gain eternal life?" And there was some discussion that took place in there, but the last thing that the Lord said, and you can almost compress it and read it this way, it won't do it injustice. "What good thing must I do to gain eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Come and follow me. Come and follow me." That's what's required this morning.
What's required? Do whatever it takes. Whatever is required to follow Jesus Christ. That is what our call is today. Our call is not to understand what the list of 100 rules are and check them off as we do them. But our call this morning is that we would come and follow Jesus Christ. It's that simple. The enemy would like to convolute it sometimes. People out in the world would like to convolute it. We as human beings sometimes overcomplicate it. It was never meant to be complicated. Jesus Christ came with love and with the answer to the need in your life. And Jesus Christ said, you, and He called us by name, and He said, come and follow Me. That is the invitation that He gives us this morning. Well, the written Word and the Spirit will help us understand what is required to follow Jesus Christ. We have the written Word. We have the living Word in the Holy Spirit. But I want us to understand this morning that it involves a living relationship. An alive relationship between me and between you and Jesus Christ. The Lord didn't come to institute a plan that left you on your own and wondering how you were doing and left you by yourself out in the wilderness. Jesus Christ came to bring a personal, individual experience for you. And He came to ask us, you come and follow Me and I'll talk to you and I'll teach you and I'll help you through the hard times in your life. The expectation of works, and try to get a hold of this morning. The expectation of works is not so much about works for work's sake. But many times, often, the expectation of works, and the man, if you remember, we read, there were a lot of works that they discussed. The Lord asked him, what does the law say? And he went through those things, and the Lord didn't say, those are bad, stop doing them, you just need to come and follow Me. He said, you did good, thou doest well, but there's more than that. You need to come and follow Me. Works are not so much about works for work's sake, but often they are to put us in a position that we can follow Jesus Christ. Sometimes there's some baggage we need to leave at the door. You remember Pilgrim's Progress? He went through that, what do they call it, the wicket gate? And sometimes there's things you need to leave at the door to help put you in a position to follow Jesus Christ. Because in the end, that's what it's all about. And works, also, the kind of works that the Lord is looking for is a manifestation coming out of your life that is a result or a consequence of you following Jesus Christ. You can have works that fall into a different category where you're not really following Jesus Christ. You're logging your works, you got them, you can point to them. But, and this man did, that's what he had, a lot of things he was able to bring up. But there's more to it than that. The Lord is looking for a type of discipleship so that the result of the discipleship, when you look behind you, you find, well, there's some fruit that came from that. There's some works that resulted from that. And that is the kind of works that the Lord is looking for. Yes, there are requirements. There are some that are very specific. They're stark. We read some of them. And again, the Lord said, you did good. Those are good. But in the end, if you're not following Jesus Christ, those works aren't going to get you to heaven. That's not going to get you to... This man went away sorrowful. He was doing many good works, but those things were not going to get him to heaven. Look, securing oil and fuel for your car is not going to get you from point A to point B. Now you need it. If I want to come to Shawnee, I'm going to have to go and I'm going to have to take some time out, and I'm going to have to put fuel in the car, and I'm going to have to put air in, make sure the tires are aired up, make sure the car's running, but it doesn't do anybody any good. Well, it might. But isn't it going to do me any good to get to point B if I say, I've got the gasoline for Shawnee in the car? If I don't get in the car and do something about doing whatever it takes to get here. Those works don't help me any. I have to have a desire of heart to turn right and to turn left and to deal with the detours that may come up or the places that cause me to slow down. I don't let those hinder me, and I don't look back and say, well, I've done good. I've got fuel for the car. I put oil in it. Those won't get me to destination B from point A any more than just following after a set of works is going to get me to heaven. I'm going to have a desire down in my heart that I'll do whatever it takes to follow Jesus Christ to get me to heaven. The invitation to come. Come and follow me. And I believe I've said this before here. Come, by definition, means that you are going to leave one spot to go to another. You can't stay in the same spot and come somewhere else. You have to be willing to come, to leave behind some things. And in this case, I have to be willing to come to terms with the fact that I've got to be willing to leave my way behind, the things that satisfy me, to come and follow Jesus Christ. Whatever it takes. That's what the invitation is about. And if whatever I'm doing doesn't result in my following Jesus and being able to look and find Jesus Christ and Rod Smith close connected, then all of the works that I might do, they're not going to help me. They're not going to help me get in. I'd like to read a verse out of Micah, the 6th chapter and the 6th verse. Micah 6:6 says, wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? And I want to pause for a minute and just remind you of this. This is in the Old Testament. This is not written in the New Testament. This is Old Testament. I want to start over. Think about that. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings? With calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams? Or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? That's what the Lord requires of us. Yes, we read in the 2nd chapter of James where he tells us that faith without works is dead. James, let us know that if you have a faith and you believe in God and you're looking to Him and trusting in His righteousness, that's all good. But without works, that's a dead faith. That's an alone faith. And I believe he said that in the 2nd chapter of James. It's a faith that is alone. And James went on and he said, I'll show you my faith by my works. I can't just wish myself to a destination or to Shawnee just because I put oil in the car. I'm going to have more than that just because I have faith. I can't trust myself here just because I want to be here any more than I can trust myself into heaven because I believe in Jesus Christ. James said, you do well. You believe in Jesus Christ, you do well. The devils, they also do fear and tremble. The scripture bears that out. On the other hand, there are people that point to their works in their lives as justification for their salvation. So you can go from one side to the other. You've got to have faith. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. The scripture teaches that. On the other side, there are those that would like to point to their works and look at all of the things that they do as justification for their salvation. But what does that remind you of? All through the New Testament, we read and we see examples of the Pharisees. That is what they were so steeped in. The Pharisees were so steeped in religious form. But the Scripture said that their hearts were far from actually following Jesus Christ. See, they had a desire that was more about themselves than it was following Jesus Christ. So you can have those that are on the faith side. They want to just look to faith and almost justify however they want to live because they point to faith. That isn't going to work. There's works that are going to be required. On the other end, there are those that will just point to their works. And I want to bring this out too. There are some that overcompensate in areas of works. There are some that it appears like we can be tempted sometimes to overcompensate in one area to make up for another area where we're woefully short in. Folks, you can't buy or apply spiritual credits against something that you would rather not measure up to by endeavoring to be really strong in something else. I want to say it another way. Living an austere, strict, sacrificial, religious life will not neutralize or cover a proud spirit, a critical spirit, somebody that doesn't have love, somebody who tends to be judgmental all the time. So what does that mean specifically? Well, dig even further in. You can be the picture of modesty. You can be the one that will be in service regardless of flood, sickness, you name it. You're going to be here. And you'd be able to point back and say, I don't ever miss a service. I'm there on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And you are the picture of modesty. And there are things that you absolutely will, lines you will not cross. But that will not cover or neutralize basic, foundational, Christian fruit of the Spirit that come with following Jesus Christ. The Lord is looking for a people who are willing to follow Him. Looking for a people who recognize, Lord, there is nothing I can do to earn my salvation. Lord, I understand there's nothing that I can do to come before You with many burnt offerings and many sacrifices. Lord, if there's a need that I have in my heart that I am defined by, you know, some people can become defined by certain characteristics. You work with them. You know, they have their name, and then in your mind you have another name. You have how they're defined in your own mind, right? We see people and we know their names, but we also know them for who they are. Jesus Christ wants us to be known as a demonstration of who He is. He wants us to be known as somebody who accurately represents Him in our lives in this world. There's lots of people out there that have many works that they can rack up and point to. They did back in the Old Testament. The Pharisees did, and the Lord over and over and over tried to show us, I have a higher calling than that. You're not under the law anymore. Sometimes I fear that we live in the new dispensation time, yet we're still trying to live under the law. And you know what that brings? It will bring discouragement in your heart and life because you're trying to justify your salvation on works and you can't do it. And as long as we try to do that, we're never going to have a peace knowing that it is the blood of Jesus and His righteousness that saves us. when we can get to the place where we realize, Lord, it's by Your blood, it's by Your righteousness that I'm saved. Thank You, Lord. It is not of myself. That is when we can be able to begin to taste of the peace that passeth all understanding in our lives for the Lord, because we no longer are trying to earn our way into heaven. And with that kind of love and appreciation, Lord, for the sacrifice that You made on the cross for me, Lord, I love You. Lord, I want to follow You. Lord, I'm willing to give my life to You. That is what the Lord is looking for in our lives today. The Lord is looking for a people that are not just trying to be fixated on a set of rules, but they are fixated on following Jesus Christ, whatever it takes. The Lord is looking for true disciples who trust in the gift of salvation, recognize that it's a gift, and who are willing and obedient, willing to give their heart and do whatever it takes to get there. That is what the Lord is looking for. He's not interested in us going way off somewhere on our own, somewhere where we're not supposed to be, and then offering some big grand sacrifice to the Lord that somehow causes that destination that we shouldn't be at. Okay, Lord's not looking for that any more than my wife is not going to be happy with me if I'm not faithful to her and leave her, go away on a job somewhere. I'm not faithful to her, but give her praise and send her flowers and do some works that would demonstrate a love for her. And yet I'm not observing the most foundational, basic principles of a holy union. And that is that I have given You my heart. And the Lord's not looking for us to do that either. The Lord is not looking for us to live kind of how we want to live. To have kind of a customized a Christian experience, if you will. And the things that we're just not willing to measure up on. The things that we have not put in for the grace of God to really lift us up out of that pit. We're willing to stay there and to compensate for that. We go way far the other direction. And a lot of times, start being really judgmental of other people. That's not what God's looking for. God is looking for disciples. God's looking for our heart. He's looking for a people that are willing to turn away from all of the things that the world is offering and fixing our eyes on Him and coming and accepting His invitation to come and follow Him. There's a verse in the 63rd Psalm that says, "My soul followeth hard after Thee." My soul, my insides, the essence of who I am, follows hard after the Lord. Some people follow hard after trying to prove to everybody how good they are. I found out a long time ago I'm not as good as I'd like to be. I've got needs in my life that I haven't gotten victory over yet. I want to see some more improvement. I want to grow in grace some more. And I recognize, Lord, it does me no good to look out and start to be judgmental of the people that are around me that where their works may not come up to par with some of my works. While I yet have great need before You. The Lord is looking for a people whose soul, whose insides, the essence of who they are, is willing, Lord, I'm going to follow hard after Thee. Not just when it's convenient, not just with a lackadaisical spirit, not with just half energy. I don't want to be dubbed half energy rod by the Lord. I want to be looked at as somebody who's following hard after the Lord. I want that to be a defining characteristic of my Christian life. That no, He loves me. Yes, He's got some issues. And yes, He has places He needs to move up. But He's following hard after me. And He has His eyes fixated on me. And He's willing to deny Himself and take up His cross and follow me wherever it takes. There's victory in that kind of life. There's peace in that kind of life. There's fulfillment in that kind of life. And there is the opposite of all of those things as long as we endeavor to try to earn our salvation. through works. It won't work. The young man said, what must I do? What is required, Lord, to gain eternal life? The last thing that Jesus Christ left him with was come and follow me. And the scripture says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. There's some works associated with that. Denying yourself, taking up your cross, there's going to be some works that are associated with that. And then the Lord went on. He said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and what? Follow me. That's always a part of it. It's never excluded. The Lord is looking for a people to follow Him and to turn their minds and their hearts and their eyes on Him above everything else. So a question for consideration this morning is, what are you following after? What are we following? Are we following what we want? Are we following after what's comfortable for us? Are we following after a religious form? We'll go away sorrowful. You'll be just like the young man was. You'll go away sorrowful. He had a lot of good works. Religious form? But lacking the power thereof? That's a sign of the last times, folks. A customized Christian experience? Yeah, we like customizing stuff, don't we? We live in a world where everything's customized to how you like it. We can deliver it to your door just exactly how you like it. You tell us the color, the size, the power, you name it, you got it. And we can start feeling like we have those same kind of decision rights in a Christian experience that God's pleased with. God's already defined what an acceptable Christian experience looks like. And it's not complicated. It's follow me. I'll show you the way. Follow me. That's what the Lord wants from us. What are we following after today? Did you know that one of the keys to following Jesus Christ is to begin to understand the things that we're following that aren't of Jesus Christ? I mean, it's not a profound statement, but it says a lot in its simplicity. You know why that's difficult sometimes? Because it requires a real strong dose of intellectual honesty. Because a lot of times we don't want to admit what it is we really are following after. Because sometimes the facts hurt. Sometimes the truth makes it difficult for us to accept because we know that doesn't look right. And yet I don't really want to change that. It's key for us in following Jesus Christ to spend some time identifying what it is that we're following after that's not of Jesus Christ. This is a full-time commitment. This is one of those all-in experiences. If you're not willing to be all in, the Lord doesn't really have a place for us in that. You remember the story of Ruth and Naomi? Ruth told Naomi, she said, listen, where you go, that's where I'm going. Your people, that's going to be my people. Your God, that's going to be my God. I may not understand your God. I may not really understand the people I'm getting ready to commit to. I don't really know where you're going to take me. But I want you to know, Naomi, that where you go, that's where I'm going. Whoever your people's going to be, that's going to be my people. Whoever your God is, that's going to be my God. That's called an all-in commitment. She was all-in. God is looking for me and for you to have an all-in commitment. Lord, I may not understand all of the times where it is you're leading me. I may not understand where you're taking me. You may not have shown it to me yet. But Lord, I want you to know that when I figure out that it's your voice that's leading me in that direction, you can count me in. Because I want to be a disciple. I'm going to follow hard after you. I'm going to keep my eyes, Lord, on the end goal. And that's to follow you right on to the judgment. And right on into heaven. And recognize that sometimes it means that the Lord is going to lead us in ways that the Lord doesn't lead other people. I'm talking about specific things in our lives that touch us. There may be things that affect my spirit, my spiritual spirit, that doesn't affect somebody else. And it's not sin in of itself. But the Lord has a way of looking down and seeing what it is that's affecting me. Like He did this young man that we read about. But if I'm so fixated on a written and unwritten, I'm going to say them both, a written and an unwritten set of laws, and that's where my focus is all of the time, I can be tempted to begin to compare myself among the people that I associate with and start evaluating how I stack up and have, number one, a false sense of security of where I really stand, and number two, completely miss what it is the Lord wants me to get a hold of in my own life.
That's true. Amen.
The Lord is looking for a people who are willing to get our eyes fixated on Him. I want to do that. You see the importance of following Jesus Christ? Rather than trying to fixate on written and unwritten laws, once we are aligned behind Jesus Christ, it will have a result of producing the fruit of the Spirit. Once we give ourselves to following Jesus Christ, and we give Him our heart, and we begin to invest in His Word, and we make room for His Spirit in our souls, and He begins to talk with us, and we begin to hear the Word of the Lord, that's when the fruit of the Spirit will start becoming a result of our discipleship. I don't want to end up like this man who kept the law per se, but he missed the most important thing. I want to hear from the Word of the Lord. I'd like to conclude with noting this 8th verse one more time in Micah. He said, "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good." He just got finished properly putting sacrifices in their rightful place. So this is not the most important thing. Let me tell you what is good. This is what He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of me. And here it is. But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. And to me, it seems like that the Lord in these scriptures is really almost pointing us back to the two greatest commandments. To love other people and to love God more than anything else. And the only way we're going to be able to do that, folks, is to be in contact with the God that is love. If I'm fixated on other things, I'm not going to get a hold of what real love is. I'm not really going to understand where the Lord's really trying to lead me. The Lord's trying to get a hold of our hearts more than anything else. He's trying to get us to take our eyes off of so many of the things that can distract us from the real need of our soul. And I believe that if we're able to take our eyes off of being so focused on ascribing inherent righteousness to works or unrighteousness to the absence of works, then we'll be able to hear what the Lord is speaking to us in our hearts and in our lives on what I need to do to follow Him. And when we do that, and our relationship becomes furthered with the Lord, then the works will follow. I will have the type of faith that works will then follow. And that the Lord can look down upon us and say, This is my child in whom I am well pleased. Look, this morning, the Lord is worthy to be served. Jesus Christ is worthy of our love. The Lord is worthy of our devotion. He's worthy of whatever work He may ask of us. to put us in a position to follow Him. He's Jesus Christ. He's the Creator. He created us. He loves us. He created the heavens. We're going to stand before God one of these days. He's going to be our judge. And He did everything that He possibly could do in love to save us when we couldn't save ourselves. What is required? What doth the Lord require of us this morning? The man asked. Come and follow me. Pray for me. I want to be true. Amen.